You're listening to The Leonard LoPage Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Last week, the mortgage giant Freddie Mac announced losses for the first quarter of 2010 that totaled $6.7 billion, and now it's asking for $10.6 billion in government assistance. Joining me now for an examination of what's happened to Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac since the government assumed control of them in 2008 is Wall Street Journal reporter Nick Timiraos, and I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show today. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Last quarter, Fannie and Freddie were responsible for funding two-thirds of all U.S. home loans. If you include the Federal Housing Administration, the government was behind 96.5% of all home loans. Why does the government remain so involved in the housing market?
It's pretty simple. Private lenders aren't coming back and really willing to lend right now because securitization markets are broken, and that was the main vehicle through which mortgages were funded for the past few decades. So right now, anything that isn't guaranteed by the government, banks have to hold on their balance sheets, and it's very expensive to do a 30-year fixed-rate loan through a bank right now. If the government weren't providing that backstop for the majority, as you said, 96% of the market, then we would not have low interest rates, and it would be much harder to have the kind of signs of stabilization in the housing markets that we've seen recently.
When banks that took TARP funds announced their quarterly earnings, that news seems to be followed pretty closely. Why haven't we heard more about Fannie and Freddie's quarterly reports?
It's a good question because the companies are losing a lot of money still every quarter. They're nowhere near close to being able to pay back the government in the same way that the banks and the automakers and AIG are beginning to be able to do. And part of the reason for that is they sit on $5.5 trillion in mortgages and mortgage guarantees. And as delinquencies on mortgages go up and as foreclosures continue to rise, those are losses that are bleeding the companies and bleeding the government of more and more money every quarter.
So why hasn't there been more political anger aimed at Fannie and Freddie? Is it because the government took them over instead of just bailing them out?
You know, it's a good question, and I'm not sure I know the answer to. I mean, there's been a lot of outrage. There was a lot of outrage at first over Fannie and Freddie, and they are certainly popular punching bags in some quarters. But these companies were also pretty politically well-connected. They spent very heavily on lobbying, and they had a lot of support on both sides of the aisle. So it could be that there isn't a whole lot of appetite to bash on Fannie and Freddie because that would require a lot of members of Congress to be critical of themselves.
Well, are the companies seen as a tool to stabilize the housing market?
They're certainly being used that way by the White House. The Obama administration has their effort to modify mortgages and to help borrowers refinance, and Fannie and Freddie are playing a very large role in doing that. They're kind of the administrative infrastructure, if you will, for the administration to modify mortgages for borrowers who are facing hardship but who otherwise might be able to keep their homes.
Well, the administration obviously sees this as a hot potato. They announced last Christmas Eve that they would remove the $200 billion cap on federal funding limits for aid, and I'm assuming they were trying to slip it in quietly at a time when no one was looking.
Right, that's right. And they had until the end of 2009 to unilaterally change the agreements that had been struck by the Bush administration in 2008. After that, they would have had to go to Congress to increase the amount of aid that they could have put into the companies. And so clearly they wanted to do it before they lost the power to do it unilaterally. The same day on Christmas Eve, they also put out bonuses for the executives of Fannie and Freddie, and the entire compensation for the chief executives. They're eligible to take home $6 million a year, which is a pretty good work in Washington if you can get it these days.
Well, many of the banks that the federal government bailed out have posted profits for at least a few quarters since the fall of 2008. Everybody got upset when they started taking huge bonuses. Fannie and Freddie are still bleeding a lot of money. Is that because, as you suggested earlier, all of the bad loans have been dumped on them?
Well, actually, their loans have performed quite better than many of the segments of the private market. Fannie's delinquency rate is at around 5.5%. Those are loans that have missed 3 months or more of payments. Freddie's is even lower there at around 4.1%. And the FHA is around 9%, and there are subprime loans that are in the high double digits, 40%, 45% that are delinquent. So Fannie and Freddie have done fairly well on that count, but it's cold comfort when you've lost $150 billion of taxpayer money, and it's just because the volume, again, of the loans that they sit on, it's so big, and any small downdraft for them is going to cause losses.
Well, after the rescue of Fannie and Freddie, the government has used them as mortgage buyers of last resort. Has that helped stabilize the housing market over the last year and a half?
We are seeing more signs of stabilization now in prices. Even some of the hardest hit markets like Las Vegas and Phoenix, the monthly declines have slowed. Some markets, you're beginning to see home prices picking up in California and Los Angeles and San Diego. They've had several months of home price gains. And one big reason for that are low mortgage rates. The Federal Reserve stepped in and bought mortgage-backed securities for most of the last year up until March of this year, and that helped keep rates at around 5%, historically very low. You had a tax credit for first-time home buyers of $8,000, and that helped boost demand. And then you had these foreclosure modification avoidance initiatives, these loan modification efforts that kept the supply of new foreclosures low. All of these things together helped to kind of reach a stabilization. But there was a lot of concern that it's very fragile and that it could go away if the government begins to let the market work as it would be a more normal market.
I'm talking with Wall Street Journal reporter Nick Timiraos about the current situation with Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which have already received $52 billion in taxpayer funds. Is there any chance that they'll ever be able to repay that money?
They should be able to repay some of it. Ideally, housing will turn around in the next few years, and they will stop losing money and they will make money. But unlike even AIG and some of the hardest hit banks that have still had profitable businesses they've been able to sell off, Fannie and Freddie don't have anything that's profitable right now. They are singularly exposed to this one asset, housing, that has seen a 30% price decline. So if they are going to pay back the money they've taken, it will take a very long time. And it'll require a lot of patience on everyone's part to give them 10 or 15 years to pay this back. And even then, there are a lot of folks. The former regulator for Fannie and Freddie says he doesn't think that taxpayers will ever see all the money that's gone out the door for Fannie and Freddie.
Well, as part of its earnings and losses report, Freddie Mac also warned earlier this month that home prices could decline further. So any idea of how long we're going to see a depressed market?
Well, we could see no growth in the housing market for years. There aren't a whole lot of people who think we're going to bounce back and have any kind of significant appreciation soon. The hope is that we don't decline again. And the big wild card, again, is that you have millions of homes out there that are of loans that are delinquent, that are in some stage of the foreclosure process, and many of those are being held up by modifications. But if those don't work, and if banks begin to, again, resume foreclosing or doing short sales, a distress sale where the bank allows the home to sell for less than the amount owed, then we could well see more supply hitting the market at depressed prices, and we could see another 5 to 10% drop in certain housing markets. The important thing to remember here is that, every housing market in the country, we all went up together. We all went down together, but we're not all going to come out of this at the same time. Some markets are going to do okay, those that didn't have terrible overbuilding, and then there are others that, with low job growth and a lot of oversupply, may continue to face problems for the next few years.
Well, the Times had an article the other day about how construction continues in Las Vegas despite the fact that there's so much empty stock now.
Right, and part of that is because there are all these borrowers sitting in homes they can't sell because they owe more than the homes are worth. The underwater problem is terrible in Las Vegas, and a lot of folks who might be in the foreclosure process are trying to get modifications. So when you talk to brokers out in Las Vegas or in Phoenix, they say, we know that there's going to be a lot of REO, real estate-owned, bank-owned homes coming out. But right now, it's just a trickle, and we're waiting for it, and we're waiting for it. And really, for the past year, there's been a lot of folks talking about this so-called shadow inventory of foreclosed homes, and everybody's wondering when or whether they're actually going to come onto the market.
The federal home buyer tax credit expired last month. Had it stabilized the housing market?
I think we saw when it was supposed to expire originally last fall. And in October and November, when it looked like it was going to expire, there was a lot of demand. A lot of people went out and were buying, thinking this was their chance. They extended it, as you said, until the end of March. And this time we didn't see as much of a surge in demand, though there was some. And there's some hope here that there's a psychological battle that you're fighting in the market. And if people think home prices are going to go down again, then they're not going to buy. But if people see that stabilization, well, then maybe they'll be more comfortable buying, and they aren't afraid of catching a falling knife. So I think the home buyer tax credit, one of the advantages there was to try to change consumer psychology and to show people that housing wasn't in a free fall anymore. But, of course, the downside is that if you are giving tax credits to folks to buy homes in March, maybe they were going to buy in April, maybe they were going to buy in May or later this year, and you've simply pulled forward demand. So it'll be interesting to see how much of a real demand is there for housing now that support is gone.
Well, does the loss of that tool put even more of a burden on Fannie and Freddie to stabilize the market?
We'll see. There was a lot of concern that when the Federal Reserve stopped buying mortgage-backed securities, that private buyers were going to demand a higher return, and that would send mortgage rates up. And that hasn't happened. The turmoil in Greece has sent investors on a flight to safety. And so we've seen mortgage rates stay relatively low, and that has been a big help to the housing market that we haven't had rates go up here. So it could stress Fannie and Freddie a little bit more as these supports get moved away, but at some point the government is going to have to stop putting all this enormous support in place. They're going to have to pull them back, and so far it seems to be working out relatively well.
Well, won't Freddie also owe the Treasury $6.2 billion in dividends on the preferred stock that the Treasury owns?
That's right.
Will they ever be able to pay that, do you think?
It's unlikely. I mean, if you read their financials, they say in there that's more money than we've ever made in most years. Even in their best years, they didn't usually make $6 billion. So the 10% dividend is steep, and right now they are paying Treasury back by borrowing from Treasury. So it's unlikely we're going to see all of that money paid back. And that is a subsidy to help housing markets recover and try to get the economy back that has so far flown pretty quietly under the radar.
Why was Freddie Mac required to bring so many of its assets and liabilities back onto its balance sheet this quarter?
Right. There were new accounting rules that took effect on January 1st. And in the past, Fannie and Freddie had been able to keep off balance sheet their mortgage guarantee business. Freddie Mac guarantees about $2 trillion in mortgage-backed securities, and for Fannie Mae, it's close to $3 trillion. So they had to consolidate those, and it ended up in a slightly larger loss for Freddie and actually a somewhat of a gain for Fannie. Fannie still lost money, but they would have lost even more money had it not been for this accounting change. And that has to do with kind of some of the technicalities in terms of how they count their own assets.
So was the quarter not as bad as the numbers might indicate?
Well, again, for Freddie Mac, probably not, though. You know, a $6 billion loss is still a $6 billion mm-hmm. loss. And Fannie, again, their loss would have been larger by about $3 billion had it not been for these accounting changes.
Earlier this month, Republicans announced a measure that would wind down Fannie and Freddie over the course of 5 years. How would they replace them and the role that they serve?
Well, that isn't clear, and that was one of the reasons that Democrats cited in voting down the amendment. The Republicans had put forward a fairly detailed and prescriptive outline for how you wind down Fannie and Freddie, and the idea would be that over this period, you would come up with their replacement. And the Democrats had argued, and the Obama administration had argued, that it isn't safe to wind them down if you're not going to put forward a plan on what you would do with them. The Obama administration has tried to move until next year any debate on this. They won't put legislation out until next year. They argue that they want to give housing more room to breathe and to heal itself before getting into this debate over what comes next.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us. Nick Timmeris is with the Wall Street Journal. We've been talking about continuing problems at Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.